Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. You can call us and ask us a question on any legal subject. We're injury attorneys in our day lives, but our radio lives, we're right here for you. 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. If you're in the mountains, you can call us at 970-457-1009. Welcome to all of our listeners. KRDO in Colorado Springs, KRAI in Craig, Colorado, KEZZ 94.1 FM in Steamboat Springs, and right here, 6:30 a.m. KHOW. We're ready to go for you. We've got the whole crew here ready to answer your questions and solve your problems. 303-713-8255. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. And if you go to the website on the homepage right there, there's a button you can hit. If you want to know and listen to our show and what you need to know before you talk to the adjuster the very first time, right? You're in an accident, you're going to talk to them, and believe me, the myth is they're going to be on your side. The myth is, well, surely some insurance company is going to help me and pay me. And the myth is, I was rear-ended. This wasn't my fault, not my fault. And so surely somebody's going to be fair to me. When you talk to that adjuster, they've already trained. They got their own scripts. They know what to do. They know what they're going to ask you. What do you know? Hit the button, listen to the show and what you need to know before you talk to the adjuster. And if you don't have enough time to listen to the show, right there on the homepage, you can hit the button and you can get a quick checklist, not a complete checklist, but a quick checklist. And it's in PDF format. You can download it, you can print it, and you can use it. And it gives you tips on what to ask the adjuster and what you need to know and do. Championsofthepeople.com. Okay. We got some weird nuances with regard to UM, uninsured motorist insurance. We preached this for years. Get the highest UM and UIM you can get. You know that. You can call today, get the highest limits. But what if you have some nuances that are really, really out there? So you got, let's start with a stolen car, Brad. Somebody steals a car, so they don't have permission and consent to drive the car. Then they run into somebody else. What is that about?
Yeah, your only hope at that point is going to be your uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage, which a lot of insurance agents evidently tell people they don't need and a lot of people don't get. And like you said to begin with, Gary, that it's important. It's vital you have this coverage. You need to get it. Do not waive it. Understand that it's there for a reason. And a stolen car is an example where somebody steals a car and they're off on a chase, or they're taking off, or they're being negligent in the operation of that car. That car's insurance is not going to cover the damages to your property. It's not going to cover the injuries you experience.
When you're dealing with a stolen car, there is no insurance left on the car. I mean, if somebody gives you the car with permission and consent, then insurance follows the car, right? But if somebody steals a car, the insurance company doesn't have to pay if that thief crashes into somebody. And so that's when your UM coverage kicks in. Let's take another one, Brad. The Colorado Supreme Court decided this case, and let's see what everybody thinks here. We got a car going down the road, 3-lane road. The car is boxed in front by another vehicle, and on both sides. The car is boxed in. So then the car on the left takes out a gun and shoots the car that they had boxed in and shoots the driver. And they, of course, they're not insured for that. So is that an uninsured motorist event?
And that confuses a lot of people. But, yeah, that's probably going to be covered under most policies. And the reason it's going to be covered under most policies is because it's still happening out of the use and operation of a motor vehicle. You're in your motor vehicle. If you're the one who got shot, the other people are in the use of their motor vehicle. It's an activity that's occurring while they're in the motor vehicles. Insurance companies will fight very hard not to cover it. They'll tell you it's not covered. They'll try to argue that it's not covered, but basically Colorado law has stated in those situations that there is coverage. You were hurt in the use of your motor vehicle while somebody else was using their motor vehicle.
So even somebody using a gun in that particular situation, the Colorado Supreme Court held that it related to the operation and use, those are the key legal words, operation and use of that motor vehicle, of a motor vehicle, and therefore the gunshot caused injuries, and therefore that was an uninsured motorist event. And so, if you'd have had UM coverage right on your car, you would have been able to make a claim and recover. Otherwise, there's no insurance. Let's do another one. This gets more interesting as we go. So you got two cars going down the street. One car starts to come into your lane. There's no contact. Makes you swerve to avoid this person that illegally just starts to come into your lane, makes you swerve, you go off maybe in a ditch, hit another car, hit a pole, and there's no contact. And the insurance policy says that we do not cover uninsured motorist events for non-contact events. What about that?
That's probably void for public policy. The point of uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage is to cover situations such as that, with, that we call a miss and run a lot of times. There's no contact. The person gets away. They take off. The hard part you're going to have is you're going to find those are very hard-fought cases by the insurance companies. They don't mind going to trial on those type cases, and they don't mind trying to convince a jury that there really was no phantom vehicle. Or if there was a phantom vehicle, it didn't do what you're claiming it did, and you were just inattentive, not paying attention, and you caused your own crash, you caused your own mistake. But the miss and run is a classic case where it's important that you get the police involved as quickly as possible. You get investigators involved as quickly as possible. You get an examination of the scene where the event occurred. So you make sure that you're going to have the ability to prove your case. And if you're not going to prove your case, if you don't get out there and get measurements, if you don't get copies of or pictures of the skid marks on the road, if you don't get pictures of where your car went off the side of the road, and you can show that this isn't something where you just didn't fall asleep and happen to fall off the road.
You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. Even though we're injury attorneys, we're glad to bring this show to you to answer your questions and solve your problems on any legal subject. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. All of our books are there. I think we had technical difficulty with our Colorado car insurance book, but all of our books are there that you can download an e-copy free, right? We got a book on motorcycle accidents and injuries, legal game plan. You know we preach legal game plan. You have to have a strategy to beat the insurance company. All of our podcasts are on our website, championsofthepeople.com. They're all there for you. The Legal Game Plan book has our over 30 years of experience packed into that book. If you come to see us, we give you a free initial consultation and a significant, meaningful, free legal game plan. Your strategy to beat the insurance company. Don't ever think this isn't a war. It's a war, but you can win the war. And right, don't forget about the show that follows our show. It's the Barry and Larry Show. It's the Consumer Real Estate Show. They are consumers, and they're on the side of consumers. And today they're talking about, you know, it's almost back to school time. Well, what about your real estate? What's the best thing to know about your real estate, buying or selling, if it's back to school time? Is there a difference? What can you do? What do you need to know? It's always confused me. Back to school time, I always thought maybe that's not the good time to sell. These gentlemen will have the answer for you, and that's the show that follows our show. So also today at 10 o'clock in the morning, our KOA show, we're talking about finding insurance, injuries and insurance. It's an eye-opening show. Can you stack your policies? How do you find insurance? What if they lie to you about the amount of insurance? What if they lie to you about the amount of policies? This has happened to us many, many times. Many times. We get into a case. They say, here's the one policy. They don't tell you about the excess policy. They don't tell you about the insurance umbrella policies because they don't want you to know. And if they don't want you to know, then they're going to say to you, there's only one policy. Here it is. It's just like getting out of your car when there's an accident and saying, I'm sorry, I don't have any insurance. Would they really, really hide excess policies? You bet. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, we're here for you. The Bell and Pollack Legal Show, Champions of the People. We'll be right back. Bell and Pollack Legal Show, the only show of its kind. You can call us, ask us questions on any legal subject. There's a line open right now, 303-713-8255, 713-8255. Today at 10 o'clock on KOA, 850 a.m., we're doing our hour-long injury show. We're talking about injuries and insurance. You know, you can't mention the word insurance at trial, even though the insurance company hires the defense lawyers. Pays the defense lawyers. You can't mention the insurance the word insurance at trial, even though the insurance companies hire these hired gun expert doctors to come in and testify against injured people. That's what they do for a living. And you can't ask them the question, well, isn't it sure? Isn't it correct that XYZ insurance company has paid you and paid you for 15 years, millions of dollars? Is that right? Can't ask those questions. Right now, join us live is Sherry. Good morning, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi. What can we do for you?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I have a two-part question, but the first part I want to ask is if I'm going down the road, I've never heard a lawyer say this, but if they're always saying if you get hurt, call them.
Right.
But if I'm going down the road and I rear end somebody or run a stoplight and T-bone someone,
right,
and I get hurt, and my insurance company will take care of them, but how do I get taken care of?
Well,
do I get my medical paid? Do I get my off work paid? Do I get, let's say I lose an eye or something, does that get taken care of?
What a great, great question. Boy, you got an eye-popping question this morning, Sherry. We're only on part one of your question, right?
Yes.
Okay, so if you're in an accident, it's your fault. I'm going to answer part of it, and then Brad's going to go through this with you, because if it's your fault and you have medical payments coverage on your own car insurance policy, MedPay has to pay your medical bills regardless of fault. So you get MedPay kicked in even though you're at fault. But let's just talk a little bit about this other part of this. You just asked a great question. Brad, let's talk about the relationship on the insurance company.
Sherry, what Gary said is so important, because Colorado has an automatic MedPay of $5,000. And you know, years ago, we had what we called no fault, and a lot of states have no fault, where the coverage was into six figures and did cover much more. And the legislature let that sunset. And what they mean by sunset is they didn't renew the requirement of no fault. Then they had where there was no med pay at all, and emergency responders, ambulances weren't getting paid. And so they said, okay, we're going to require everybody to have $5,000 in med pay. You can get more. And this is one of the reasons why we preach all the time, get more.
Wait, that's one of my questions. That's
okay.
Second question.
All right, part two, let's go.
The most I can get is $25,000 on my insurance policy.
Well, you know, some companies only go $25,000. Some companies will go $50,000. Some companies go $100,000. It really does you good to talk to your insurance agent and check around.
I did.
And see if there's other companies. And you weren't able to find any company that did more than $25,000?
She didn't.
Okay. You know, that's interesting, because I know...
Yeah, Sherry, my insurance company is USAA, and I asked them, you know, what's the highest MedPay you sell, because I want the highest MedPay, and they said $100,000, and I bought it, and it wasn't very expensive at all. But you're right, and if she checked around, if your agent checked around, and 25 is the highest, I'm having a little bit of trouble swallowing that one, because I think
she only checked two other companies.
Oh, I think there's 50 grand out there, right?
I was talking to her. What?
I think there's 50 grand out there on some other companies.
Well, she only checked two for me. And the other thing is, adding that extra med pay and extra UIM, uninsured and underinsured, didn't cost but about $14, $12, $13 more a month or something.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's
and
the
her,
cheapest insurance.
The other one, the highest she had, was $500.
I see what you're saying. Well, you're talking the lingo. Good job. Great job this morning, Sherry. You're making us really happy. You're talking about UM. You're talking about it doesn't cost a lot of money, period. And so, but let's get back to part one of your question. I think we want to explore this a little bit more with you, because a lot of people don't understand. You're the one that's at fault. So now you turn it into your insurance company. Your insurance company, you're at fault, let's say. Your insurance company then has to defend you. You have to cooperate with them. They have to defend you. They make all the decisions. If you get sued and they didn't pay the policy limits, many times it's because they won't pay enough money. And so the person has to file a lawsuit. We've used this example. Let's say you're at fault in an accident, Sherry. Let's say you've caused the other person to have $33,000 in medical bills.
Okay.
And let's say your insurance is $100,000, and your insurance company won't offer any more than $20,000 for the whole case. And the medical bills of that injured person are $33,000. So then your insurance company, who makes all the decisions, forces the injured person's attorney to sue, and you don't want to get sued, but your company won't pay you. They won't even pay the amount of the medical bills. Am I explaining that okay to you?
Yeah. What happens then? Do they come after you?
You know, what you need to do, and Brad's got some great answers on this. You're the insured. You're the at fault. You don't want to get involved in this. You want your insurance company to pay.
Sure, and that's when you have to start being active in the case. And the first thing is you want to be telling your insurance company, look, get these people taken care of. The person I hurt or the person that, you know, yeah, the person I hurt, get or the people I hurt, get them taken care of within my policy limits. Pay them within the policy limits. Don't put me through the stress and the time and the problems I face of having to go to depositions, having to answer questions or interrogatories, we call them, and request production of documents. Don't put me through the gamble that the damages might exceed policy limits. And that's where you start telling your insurance company, get this case settled within policy limits. You not only tell them the adjuster to do that, you write the adjuster to do that. And a lot of times you got to go get a lawyer and have the lawyer. I'm very serious. You have to have the lawyer do so. And the lawyer you hire is a personal lawyer. A lot of times that lawyer can eventually demand that the insurance company pay his or her attorney's fees. But you want that lawyer to talk to the insurance company lawyers and the insurance company adjuster and say, why aren't you settling this case? Why are you making my person go through this? There's a lot of stress and a lot of time that is put into a lawsuit.
Right.
By people that shouldn't have to be going through it, except they can't get their adjusters and their insurance lawyers to actually represent them and get the case resolved.
Especially if I got hurt also in the wreck.
You got hurt, and then you're going to have a claim against you. And I'll tell you what, many times we've seen the at-fault party get their own attorney, separate and apart from the insurance attorney, and demand on the insurance company they settle this case. I'll guarantee you one thing, Miss Sherry. I'll guarantee you one thing. When you bought insurance and you bought liability insurance in case you were at fault, in case you injured somebody, you wanted your insurance company to take care of that and pay it,
yeah.
And you don't want to be sued.
That's what I'm buying it for.
That's what you're buying it for. Then all of a sudden they won't pay. Then all of a sudden they say, well, Sherry, you've got to cooperate with us because you were at fault, and we're going to go to trial, and we're going to have all this whole mess. And so you asked an incredible question this morning.
So, Sherry, I would like to get your name and number and give you a call. I believe the insurance agent I have, and he represents a number of companies, but I know he represents Nationwide, and I don't know if your insurance person checked Nationwide.
I'll ask her.
Ask her, because I believe they go above $25,000 for MedPay.
And what's that other one?
USAA.
USAA.
Right.
Okay.
And tell her to check those two, because they go above it, and it's very inexpensive insurance, and you are doing exactly what you should be doing. Is getting protection for yourself. If you're going to go spend that kind of money on insurance, and you're talking $12, $14, like you said, go get the coverage that's going to protect you so that you do have a way to get yourself compensated for your injuries.
You might have a partial roadblock, Sherry, on USAA, because when I first got covered with USAA, it was only for military members. But I'm not sure what the rules are these days. I mean, I've kept it all these years, but you should check. I just got a feeling you get more than $25,000.
Spouses, military members, children, military members. I think it was if you have a relationship that's a military member, you have a good chance of being covered.
Okay.
In any way, shape, or form.
Well, Sherry, I'm going to put you on hold. Give Kevin your information, and we'd like to hear back from you as what you find.
You still haven't told me. Do I get paid for being off work, or do I get paid for my injuries any money extra?
No. Okay, so no, you don't. You get your medical bills paid, but under the old no-fault insurance, which sunset and went away, you got $126,000 of benefits, loss of work.
That's what you were talking about.
That's what we were talking about.
I didn't understand that. I'm sorry.
Then that's okay. We defaulted back to the tort system, which means the at-fault system, which means the injured party doesn't get paid, but you get your medical bills
paid. So now the only thing you really get is your medical bills paid. You don't get for the loss of time.
You're just out of luck.
No, you're out of luck. That's exactly
right.
And
I have to pay a lawyer sometimes to get my insurance company.
Right, which means, Sherry, next time you talk to one of your local legislators or people making law out there, you ought to talk to them about why we don't go back to no fault. That'd be an interesting topic.
I thought we still had no fault. I was surprised when I had my wreck that we didn't.
No,
it's sunset, and the only reason it sunset is, you know, it was built in that it would sunset after, I think it was 10 years. And I think there was a 10-year renewal, and after the 20 years, it sunset unless the legislature voted, the Colorado legislature voted to maintain it. And they didn't vote. They just didn't vote at all, thus letting it go and causing us to be back into the system we're in.
All right.
Sherry, thank you very much for your call, ma'am.
All right. Goodbye.
I'm going to put you on. Thank you very much. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you. You can give us a call at 303-713-8255. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information loaded website, all for you. We'll be right back. Fasten your seatbelt. It's legal rock and roll time. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, our law firm is Bell and Pollock, and ready to roll for you. 303-713-8255. Join us live from Caitlin's Restaurant. It's Eric. Good morning, Eric. What's
cooking?
Good
morning. How you guys doing today?
Good. What's cooking over there?
We got some specials. Now, we're running our last week on these specials, so make sure you get in and check these out. Our breakfast special is going to be those breakfast tacos we talked about last week. Now, that's three flour tortillas. We're going to load that up with some seasoned ground beef, some scrambled eggs, some mixed cheese, lettuce, tomato, guacamole, sour cream on the side, of course. You can also get a side of our hash browns on the side to go with that if you'd like. That's our special for one more week for breakfast. And our lunch special is going to be what we're calling the Bradley Salad. Now, that is a smoked turkey salad that gets bacon, jack cheese, cheddar cheese, guacamole, carrots, bell peppers, cucumbers, all the goods from the garden on that, sunflower seeds, and, of course, a dressing of your choice. That's the Bradley Salad. That is the lunch special for the rest of the week, so make sure you come in and check that out. And every Monday and every Friday, we're still going strong with that all-you-can-eat taco burrito buffet. It's all you can eat. It's tacos. It's burritos. It's all you can eat. It's from 11 to 2 every Monday and Friday. That actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price of that buffet. So that's definitely something to come and check out every week. We've got umbrellas up. We're waiting for beautiful weather from Colorado right now. We've got mimosas, crafts of mimosas for $13.50. Flat screens are on, waiting for sports, waiting for people to come on down. Try out our specials. Try out our scratch-made products in addition to that. Come on down and check out Caitlin's Restaurant, guys.
Okay, Rick, where are you located?
Guys, we're at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard, and that is the Glendale Shopping Center. Come on down and check us out, please.
I'll see you down there, Eric.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
All right, we appreciate all of your calls. We're going to get to your calls, 303-713-8255. Don't forget about our show, and our one-hour injury show today at 10 o'clock every Saturday, 10 to 11, on KOA 850 AM. Join us live right now is Russ from Golden. Good morning, Russ. What can we do for you?
I have a pension, long story short. There was, many mistakes in the pension system over the years, and I believe that's what triggered them to audit the pension. They paid for, nobody will really say what the audit cost, but they got an outside firm supposedly to audit the pension. They were furnished with all the information on these errors in the system. There was a settlement, and a large number of pensioners were written checks, given money. I received money, and I did make a phone call, tried to find out how they arrived to see if that was correct. Like, was I underpaid for $3 a month for 6 years? What was it? No answer. No, there was never any, explanation as to how they arrived at the figures, etc.
Well, Russell, then you had a pension, and then it got audited, and then as a result of the audit, there were some errors discovered, right?
Yes, yes.
And then they started issuing checks, and there might be right. the wrong amount of money, right?
Right, and when I attempted to find out just exactly how they arrived at the figures, then there was no explanation. Then a short time later, it was King's X. We made the auditor made a mistake. We want the money back.
And how much money are we talking about, Russ?
Well, to myself personally, it was around $4,000.
Wait a minute. They want the money back from you?
Yes.
So they came in and did an audit. And first of all, is this in ERISA? Is this an employee retirement plan?
I'm sorry, what?
Is this an Employee Retirement Income Yes. Security Act plan? So it's an ERISA plan, correct? Retirement plan.
I'm not sure he knows what ERISA means, Brad.
Okay.
Are you tuned into that, Russ?
Perhaps not.
Okay, no. So anyway, you were an employee, and then as part of your employment, you had this retirement plan, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So you have an employee plan, and you've been contributing to it, and your employer's been contributing to it. And they come in to do an audit to see if you're getting the appropriate amount of money from the plan.
Right.
All right. And when they come in to do the audit, which, by the way, do you know how the audit occurred? Because, about 70% of the pensions out there aren't audited at all. So was this an imposed audit by the company, or are you part of a union, or what?
I tried to find out about that. I tried to find out exactly what I tried to find out is what triggered it, because there had been many instances over some years that, guys knew that their amounts was incorrect, and it went on. And I'm assuming that's what triggered the audit. So, and I've heard figures that they paid, well over $100,000+ for the audit. To the firm that did the audit.
Well, I got to tell you, Russ, the more your story goes on, the higher my blood pressure gets, because, and Brad's going to give you a more definitive answer here in just a second, but look, they owe you fiduciary duties. It's not acceptable that they don't tell you. It's not acceptable that you don't have the information why the audit was done in the first place. It's not acceptable that they don't give you an accounting. And it's not acceptable they don't give you accounting to begin with regard to how much money they paid you, and now give you full explanation as to why they want the money back.
Let me ask you.
Here is another caveat to this that I was just blown away by, is they made an offer that if you returned the money within a relatively short period of time, you could keep 25% of what they overpaid you, what they say they mistakenly paid you. So there were some people that I had heard received as high as $35,000-$40,000 in error.
Well, Russ, let me tell you a second here. You can come to the studio and pick me up off the floor, okay? These people owe you fiduciary duties. It's not just a ho-hum relationship. This is a very serious fiduciary relationship. And when they're dealing with your money and dealing with investment money and funds, they can't just poo-poo the whole thing, and they can't just keep you blindfolded legally, right? Period.
Yeah, they say now that I want to see the figures. What were the mistakes that you say were made, and then you decided for whatever they weren't made? And what they are admitting is they're saying that the auditor made the mistake. And so,
well, let's see it. Let's have an accounting.
Well, they're saying the auditor made the mistake, as in now you don't have to pay the money back?
No. They want the money back, and they said they'll take legal action if I don't pay the money back.
Is this a plan of more than 2,500 participants? Is it considered a big plan?
Oh, yes, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm not.
Okay. And it sounds like, as much as anything, you're not getting the information to explain what happened.
Right. That was one of the things they had. They had one meeting that I didn't. There was other meetings that I didn't know about, because they were real kind of close on when they were. I attended one meeting, and I said, "Well, look, you should. If the auditor made the mistake, then they should be responsible for making them whole again, not." Me, and I believe I was underpaid. And
okay, but Russ, where it stands right now is they said we went through this audit thing, you got money, now they say pay it back, you can keep 25%. That's where we are.
Yeah, I refused. I didn't take the offer because I was astounded. I thought, well, wait a minute, you're rewarding the people. The larger the mistake, the better off you would have been, because you get to keep 25% of a larger amount. So I thought that was just, I couldn't understand how they could ever think that was equitable to make an offer like that. Say, okay, we overpaid you by $30,000. Now you get to keep 25% of that. We overpaid you by $2,500. You only get to keep.
My goodness, the legal issues swimming around in my head right now, like a swarming like a beehive. Unbelievable. I mean, what about the auditor's responsibility? What about the auditor's report? What about something in writing? How did this deficiency come about? What was the mistake or mistakes?
That's what I tried to find out at the meeting, and I said, did you provide the auditor with all the correct, pertinent information? And they said, yes. And I said, well, then how would we be responsible for this supposed overpayment, which I don't even think was an overpayment, because I thought all along that I was somewhat underpaid. But nobody was ever, to my knowledge, given any explanation as to how they arrived at this, and then all of a sudden this pay the amount back.
Well, yeah, because you don't know how the auditor came up with the
right.
overpayment. You don't know
right.
if that auditor's correct. Nobody's checked that auditor's work that you know of.
Right.
And the problem you've got is, are you still getting payments from the plan?
Yes.
So the problem you've got is, if you don't pay the lump sum, eventually they're going to start reducing the your payment amount.
Yeah, I was wondering if they could actually do that, if they could actually, you know, try to take it out of my funds that I received.
Well, they can try, but you have a lot of legal rights. You just said that they threaten legal action against you if you don't let you give the money back.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't invite a lawsuit upon anybody, but if the lawsuit came, that would be your perfect opportunity to formally, under oath, discover all the questions we've been talking about. What was the auditor's report? What were the deficiencies? Who was responsible? Hey, Russ, we're going to have to call you off the air. You need some further help on this. Is that okay?
Yes, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. You give Kevin your information, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Kevin, take down his information. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. You know where to go on Saturday mornings to get your legal questions answered. You know you can come right here to KHOW every Saturday morning. And at 10 o'clock today, every Saturday morning, 10 to 11 on KOA, is our one-hour-long injury show. We're talking about injuries and insurance today. You're going to want to listen to that show. Bell and Pollock. We'll be right back. Okay, fasten your seatbelt. Here we go. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys, but for this show, we're right here for you. Join us live right now is Lucky on a workers' comp question. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. What can we do for you?
I had a question about I'd kind of struggled with back pain for the company I was working for since about 2009.
Okay.
In 2016, in April, I heard it again, and kind of just constant back pain, couldn't work. So I was off the month of May in 2016, and then they terminated me in June of 2016. So I got a lawyer and took workman's comp to court.
Right.
And he took the first deal that came along. I got very little money out of that deal. And just in the last couple months, I switched jobs, did part-time stuff, started driving truck, and my back finally, for the first time in all these years, has finally quit hurting. And I realized that this guy kind of just took the first deal that came along. Is there anything I can do about that?
Okay, so and you've just asked us a very fact-intensive question, and we'll be glad to try to help you. I'm not sure we have the time on the air to do that,
okay.
but sure. Basically... you're facing a problem that we don't like. A lot of lawyers just take the first deal. The client doesn't really know any better, and you know there's some attorneys just run a mill. And so you ask a very very relevant question. But let me ask you a couple of work comp questions. So
okay.
When you say you took the first deal, And by the way, it's illegal in Colorado to fire a worker because they filed a work comp claim. But the employer always says, well, we didn't fire him because they filed a work comp claim. We fired him because suddenly he developed a bad attitude, or suddenly his job performance wasn't very good, or suddenly he wasn't on time for the job. That's why we fired him. Well, that's the same time you filed a workers' comp. But back to the issue, did you get paid for any kind of future issues, disability for the workers' comp, anything like that?
No, he just took, they offered him a settlement, and he just took it, and it wasn't very much.
Well, what do you mean
and
he
at
took
that
it?
Time, I had no ability. I mean, I'm talking to somebody, and they said your adrenal glands, once they get depleted, you have no ability to fight or argue back. I didn't want any confrontation. It was amazing.
Right.
But I didn't even have the ability to argue with them, you know, just to say, oh, gosh, that doesn't sound right.
Right.
And right now I'm thinking, man, what was I thinking? Because these guys all knew this, obviously. I'm sure Workman's Comp knew about it and this lawyer knew about it. And I had never been through this before. And so the guy said, well, boy, if you don't take this deal, you might not get anything. I'm like, you're kidding. And so I just took the deal, and it wasn't much. And so I didn't know if I had any recourse to do anything about this or not.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take your name and number. We're going to talk to you off the air, because this is a fact-intensive answer on your question, right?
Okay.
And the answer right now is maybe, maybe not, but then that always depends on the facts. But
yeah, you're talking about wanting to reopen your settlement, and the question was whether you got an impairment rating, what kind of, if you had any kind of payments, TTI or permanent partial disability, or what you got, whether you did a full and final settlement. There's going to be a lot of stuff as to whether or not we can reopen a settlement.
Okay.
And that's going to be the question as to where you were at the time, if your back got worse after you did the settlement. And do you remember even getting an impairment rating?
Not on my back, no. While I was also working at this job, I'd also ended up having 5 rotator cuff surgeries. It was very hard on the shoulder.
Were all those work-related or not work-related?
Yeah, they were all. My 5 rotator cuff surgeries were all work-related, every one of them.
Okay, and so we're gonna have to talk to you off the air.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's talk to you off the air. Let's get your name and number.
I'm gonna put you on hold. Thank you very much for your call. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So, Kevin, please take down his information. We've got a lot of calls. We're gonna try to get to them in the order in which they've come in. So, right now we're gonna talk to Dan. Good morning, Dan. What can we do for you?
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Great.
Doing well.
I was in an accident the day before yesterday.
Wow. Okay.
I have a 1990 Dodge Dakota pickup, and it's pristine, immaculate showroom condition. This woman tried to dart out through traffic to get across the road, and she waited until the cars in, you know, closest to her lane. She was northbound trying to get south, and I was eastbound on Yale Avenue.
Right.
And she just did not see me when she shot out to try to get through traffic. And I hit her on her passenger side of her vehicle. She was driving a 2017 Ford Escape.
Okay.
And so I ended up hitting her in her passenger front fender. She was cited for failure to yield right of way. I was not.
Right.
My collision, I mean, I was probably doing, when I hit my brakes and I locked them up, I was probably doing maybe 20 miles an hour when I hit her. However, it has destroyed the front of my truck, and I think it's totaled. And even if it's totaled, I can't go buy another pickup, you know, for what it would cost to fix this thing. So I'm wondering, even if I exhaust the insurance resources, can I still go back after her brother who owned the vehicle that she was driving?
All right. Have you signed any papers to release anybody yet?
No.
Okay. So I don't think you would a couple of days ago, but that's important. And so you got to be careful what you do, and we'll be glad to help you, because if you go sign papers release and get the car released and get paid on the vehicle, then you may lose rights on other things like her brother, who owned the car. So, you know, Brad,
do they have insurance?
Yeah, they have insurance.
Okay. And
I also have uninsured motorists on my insurance policy.
Great job. And so their insurance, has their adjuster talked to you yet?
No, not yet. I'm having a hard enough time just getting somebody to evaluate my vehicle. It seems that everybody is pretty busy with this last round of hailstorm that went around.
Yeah, you could wait literally months. Is your vehicle drivable?
It's not drivable where I can actually use it. It's not totaled to the degree that it won't run or anything like that. It just looks like cosmetic damage that's happened to my vehicle.
Did you have
I need an entirely new front clip?
Did you have collision coverage on yours?
I believe I do.
Okay. So there will be deductible. A lot of times when the insurance companies, if there's a potential dangerous situation, like if you run into somebody, if you're worried about the hood flying up or the latch not working right or something like that, they'll give your car a priority to get it in, because even above the hailstorm, because they need to get your truck fixed. The question is whether they're going to total it on you. And if they total it on you, then they're just going to send you a check and they're going to take your vehicle, or else, and you're going to be left without your vehicle. And so you get ready for the fight on that. As far as the brother, we got to figure out what he was doing as far as lending the car to the driver or not. So we're going to need your name and number so we can go over a bunch of this with you.
Okay.
Well, Dan, we're up against a wall on time on our show, so please give your information to Kevin, and we'll be glad to call you and help you.
Okay.
I would say don't talk to adjuster until
don't talk to the adjuster. We will talk to you by Monday.
All right.
We will call you Monday.
Yeah, super. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We didn't get to Jane. We didn't get to Tiffany. And we didn't get to Larry. We're very sorry. If you want to call us back next week, we'll be glad to do it. If you want to call us at our law firm, if you want to give Kevin your information, we will call you back and help you. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. Why? Why? Because we champion people's causes. Brad and I have over 30 years of experience helping injured victims put their lives back together again. Championsofthepeople.com. We'll see you next week.